Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour. Can't reach Kelly. What's going on with that, Colfax? Is this some kind of conspiracy or what? We'll try again. Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and we'll see. A lot of people talking about this transfer, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a big name. Boston College football's leading rusher, David Bailey, transferring to CSU. So, you're getting a lot of Boston College transfers coming over. I'm curious to know the number now. Like, how many players have officially transferred over? Kelly's got it. Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Hey, Kelly, what's the head count now as far as how many Boston College players have transferred over to Colorado State?
We're up to five now.
Oh, okay.
And I just saw another Boston College guy go in the transfer portal today. So who knows? Maybe there'll be another one coming.
Let's just get them all over here, man. When you see, Rams fans, they tend to get a little extreme, and they're like, "Oh, we're bringing over a bunch of guys that were a part of a 500 type program." It's a little different, and it's only five, but at least it's worth having a conversation. I would imagine a 500 type program could translate to a few games over 500 in the Mountain West Conference.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, yes, they are coming from a program that went 500. They're going to a program that went 1-3. Again, they're going to a 500 was a win better.
Oh, I'd be happy to get
than
there,
the Rams.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and again, the transfer thing right now is just so insane.
Oh my
with
gosh,
people everywhere. I unfortunately have alerts on for different Twitter feeds that when new people go on the portal, and it's hard to even look at my phone because they're just going off constantly for the last 6 months. It's insane. But I think if you're getting the right guys from those programs, you've got something. I think it's smarter to take a transfer that you have coached before at the college level than some of these than a high school kid you've never met. Which is honestly, with all the way recruiting has been during COVID, most of the high school guys that they're signing, they've never actually met. It's been virtual meetings, virtual discussions with the families, with the kids, highlights from, in some cases, sophomore seasons because they didn't play junior years, things like this. So I think that in the grand scheme of things, you're probably better off taking a guy like that that you have some history with than to kind of some of the random people out there that you hope are good, but you have no idea if they really are.
I mean, it does make sense. I mean, you recruited these guys or had guys recruiting these guys, and you know them, and you studied a lot about them. So, you did the work. So it definitely makes sense. Tell us more, or tell us what you know, Kelly, about David Bailey. Definitely things are pointing to CSU being a run-the-ball type of team to set up the pass eventually, but how well will David Bailey fit in the transfer from Boston College?
Well, I would assume he will fit in very well because I would assume that he was the kind of running back that Steve Addazio wanted in his offense when he recruited him to Boston College originally. And then he's proven himself a bit besides having been, the top high school running back coming out of Maryland, according to multiple recruiting sites coming out of high school. He went ahead and he ran for 800 some yards as the number two back at Boston College in 2019 and led the team in rushing last year as the primary running back. So I think that he's probably, going to be exactly what they need. He's big. He's 236 pounds, 6'1". So he's got more size than, and Marcus McElroy's up at that level too, but certainly bigger than Ajon Vivens, bigger than a lot of the running backs that Colorado State already had on the roster. And so I think he's got more of that physical pounding type profile. And I think he's probably going to be a very good fit. And I would probably pencil him in right now as, the starter. I think the pressure's on Marcus McElroy, and Ajon Vivens to try to beat out the new guy because the new guy's got some has done some things and has proven himself to the head coach previously.
Marcus McElroy is interesting too, Kelly. I mean, he's had his moments for sure, but I kind of thought he would be a further along. And I know last year, again, it's hard to say anything as far as breaking down the film necessarily about last year, but that is interesting. I kind of thought he might take that mantle and run with it and be a featured back a while ago, but here we are. Now there's some competition. Can only mean a good thing, though.
Yeah, I've thought that about Marcus McElroy all along. I mean, the guy is a physical specimen. I mean, he looks every bit the part of a big-time running back. There are NFL guys that don't look as much the part as Marcus McElroy does, and certainly he's got the talent and the ability. We've seen flashes of it over his time at Colorado State. He's been, you know, kind of snake bit by injuries at awkward times. And maybe, you know, fumble issues that put him on the bench at different times when maybe, you know, he needed a little bit more playing time. All those things that have gone through, he is a player in my mind that has so much more potential than we have ever seen. But, you know, he's down to it. He's a senior now. Either it's you know, you either do it or you don't. And so he's definitely going to have the pressure on to even be part of the playing rotation, because Ajon Vivens beat him out last year, ran for more yards last year on fewer carries with a better average, and is, you know, I know that Marcus was probably still the number one guy coming out of spring drills, but Ajon was right on his heels, and now you bring in David Bailey, who probably moves ahead of both of them, and at least on an unofficial depth chart going into fall camp.
Kelly, what do you think about that? Running back would be great. A stud running back would be great, some production. But, you know, a lot of it really depends. Most of it really depends on that offensive line. Some Boston College guys there, too. Talk to us about what you expect from that line. Just here we are, June 3rd. We got a long way to go. But, I mean, do we think this run game is really going to transition this quickly and be kind of a ground and pound and a really positive rushing attack?
You know, I think that's going to be tough. I don't think this year is maybe the year it all comes together. I think it's going to improve from what we've seen. I think certainly having those three guys that were together at Boston College in the middle of it, and now a running back that was at Boston College too, and maybe has a little bit of familiarity with Cam Reddy and Elijah Johnson and Adam Karutz, the three guys in the middle of that O-line. Colorado State, you know, Barry Wesley and Keith Williams are the tackles. They were both previous Colorado State guys that have been around for a while. I think that line is gelling. I think they're going to be significantly better than they were last year. Whether or not they're yet ready to make a full transition for the Rams to have the true kind of ground game that Steve Addazio wants, that John Budmeyer, the new offensive coordinator, wants, that remains to be seen. I think they're going to be closer to it, but I'll bet you it's still going to need another year or two to really become what they want it to become.
Yeah, well, looking at the schedule, again, Kelly, we didn't get a chance to catch up last week, but getting some times and, you know, the networks and everything. Well, there you go. You got another Friday game. I'm getting used to CSU playing a lot of weird games, Thursdays and Fridays. South Dakota State, that first game of the season, September 3rd. I think that's interesting because Friday night's going to be happening in Northern Colorado that date, because UNC, Ed McCaffrey's first game, will be against CU that night, and then, of course, Preps football and CSU launching. So, I mean, Friday night, September 3rd, it's going to be madness.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, and you add in that it's Labor Day weekend and all the other things that go on Labor Day weekend in Colorado. It's going to be a big deal. I'm disappointed that it is at the same time as that UNC Colorado game, because I kind of wanted to watch that one too, so I guess I'll be setting the DVR to record that one while I'm over at Canvas Stadium covering the Rams that night. But I think it's you know, the best news for everybody is it's coming. It's getting close. And, you know, with COVID restrictions being mostly lifted, the Broncos have been told they can have full capacity. All the universities are planning on full capacity. Coors Field goes to full capacity for the Rockies at the end of June, I hear. So, you know, a lot of positive things. There's a lot of pent-up college football fan, excitement that's ready to be unleashed this fall, and it'll be interesting to see how all that turns out at Colorado State and elsewhere.
Yeah, no question about it. We're talking to Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Looking at the schedule, really, and we talked about South Dakota State. I mean, this is, it's an FCS team, but it's a pretty good FCS team.
National runner-up this past spring, just literally just a few weeks ago, was the national championship game. So they played a spring season. So that in itself is going to be a little interesting, too. I don't know if that helps them because they're fresher or if it hurts them because they haven't, you know, had time to totally recover physically. That'll be an interesting thing to see, too. But, yes, this is, in my mind, these are the worst possible FCS teams you could ever schedule. It's maybe good for fans, but as a FBS program, you've got a very decent chance you're going to lose to this team, which is going to be horrible for what it would mean for the rest of your season. And if you win, well, everybody expects you to win. You're supposed to win because they're FCS and you're FBS. In my mind, I wouldn't schedule FCS teams that are that good if I were a Joe Parker or a college athletic director at any FBS school. I'd schedule either ones that have tremendous regional interest, such as Northern Colorado, because they're right down the road. I think that one makes a lot of sense. Or ones that you're pretty certain you can beat if you're going to bring somebody in from a few states away. Make sure it's somebody you know you can get a win over. And I'm not sure the Jackrabbits fit that bill.
Maybe it's an appealing in a game, though, as far as fans going. Because like you said, it's FCS, but it's a, you know, it's a team a lot of people in this area know about, South Dakota State. So I'll be curious to see what the attendance looks like.
Yeah, there will be more regional interest. You do have a lot of folks from the Dakotas in this part of the country, primarily South Dakota, because I don't think anybody really lives in North Dakota for the most part. You have a lot of folks from that area around here. And so, yes, there'll be a little bit of interest in that. And some of their fans, I think their fans could actually, you know, they could bring a pretty decent contingent of Jackrabbit fans to put in that stadium. So it will be interesting to see. I don't think Colorado State fans are going to be all that excited about the matchup. I think you'll get a little bit of a bump from the fact that it's a season opener and a little bit more of a bump from the fact that fans couldn't go to games at all last year and so few were played. But I don't think it's going to be quite the level that they would have liked, or even what you would have gotten if they were playing Ed McCaffrey and UNC in that game.
Yeah, no question about it. I would have liked to see that too. I think, you know, CU is going to beat UNC, but I'm still very much intrigued with Ed McCaffrey standing on the sidelines there for the first time. So it would have been cool to see Coach McCaffrey play both programs. Kelly, we're up against a break, but maybe next week we can break down the entire schedule. Get a way too early win total prediction from you, too, if you're ready for that.
Well, might have to wait an extra week because I'm on vacation next week and I'm going to be somewhere where I hope I have no cell service, camping in the mountains.
So you're saying,
I do have cell service, I might just turn it off anyway.
So I won't text you for, all right, that gives you 2 weeks then to come up with your bulletproof schedule. I expect it to be flawless, or your prediction for the schedule.
Fair enough.
All right, Kelly, talk to you soon, man. Enjoy the vacay.
All right,
Kelly Lyle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. He's a little worried about the South Dakota State game. I threw that out quickly. Oh, that's a win. FCS, I don't care. That's a win. Vanderbilt, that's a win. Toledo, I think I gave him a loss, and I gave him Iowa a loss too, right? So I've got him 2-2. Or did I give him Toledo, Colfax? They're on the road, so I can't imagine I did that. So I've got him 2-2 non-conference, and away we go. And then we get into a tough Mountain West, and you know what I already told you. I got him winning six, right? Yeah, that's what, going 500 bowl game. That would be a big deal for Adazio. 51 minutes after the hour, we're gonna take a short break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Another Colorado State story. I'm gonna reach out to this guy very, very soon because he's back in the United States of America. We'll talk about him next.
Listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break.